I didn't suggest any songs to Brother Van, but the first song and our invitation song, by the glory of God, just worked out. It goes right with the lesson. It's just kind of funny how that works out. Sometimes I suggest songs that go with lessons, sometimes I don't, and it just works out that it's the perfect ones that could be selected. So if you remember the first song that we sang this morning, you take note of the invitation song that we sang, be the subject of our study this morning. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. The Apostle Peter wrote this epistle perhaps in 64 A.D., wrote his second epistle sometime perhaps in 65 A.D. Both of these epistles were written to Christians that were scattered throughout Roman provinces during that time. 1 Peter 1 and verse 1, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter is writing to Christians scattered in those Roman provinces. And he writes in 1 Peter 5 and in verse 1, recorded in the New King James Version, the elders who are among you I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Our subject is also spoken about in other places. Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders said, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. I want to talk to you about the flock of God this morning. If you're familiar with the Bible at all, you know the Old Testament speaks of the flock of God, and the New Testament speaks of the flock of God. Well, let's define what a flock is. Because people live in the city today, you know, it's not hard for us to understand because we come from primarily an agricultural community in the south. But if someone lived up north, there's children that don't know what a flock is, believe it or not. They don't know the difference between sheep and goats and a cow or a mule. So what is a flock? Well, the word flock itself is used both in a literal sense in the scripture and both in a metaphorical or figurative sense. In Genesis 4 and in verse 2 and following, we see that it's used in a literal sense. Then she bore, that is, Eve, bore again, this time his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering. So what is a flock? Well, a flock is a group of sheep. It's a number of sheep. That's what a literal flock is. But sometimes the phrase the flock is referred to a flock of goats. In Genesis 27 and verse 9, Rebekah, speaking to her son Jacob, said, go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. So what is a flock literally? A group of sheep, a group of goats. That's what a flock is. But most of the time, the flock has reference to a spiritual flock. The word is used in a metaphorical sense. But we also see it used in a literal sense in the New Testament even. In Luke 2 and in verse 8, the time in which Jesus was born, and the angels were announcing that, Luke records that there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, several times in the Old Testament, the phrase the flock is used in a literal sense. Most of the time in the New Testament, it's used in its spiritual sense or metaphorical sense. In Acts 20 and verse 28, through 29, we read earlier when Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders when he was on his last trip to the city of Jerusalem before he was arrested and taken prisoner of Rome. He stopped in Miletus and called for the elders to come, and he spoke to them. And Luke records that conversation that he has with them. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The flock here is not speaking about a literal flock of sheep or goats, but it's speaking about a group of people. It's speaking about Christians. The elders are the shepherds. They oversee that group of Christians in the city of Ephesus. That's what's under consideration. The flock here are Christians, the church in Ephesus. What is the flock of God then? When we look at it in the overall view of the teaching of the Bible, what is the flock of God? Well, first of all, we note that the flock of God is the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, as a matter of fact, speaks of God's people, the nation of Israel, as being the flock of the Lord. Jeremiah 13 and verse 17. But if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. The Lord's people have been taken captive. The nation of Israel. He's speaking about them going away into Babylonian captivity. If they'll not repent and return to the Lord, that's exactly what's going to happen to them. But these people are the Lord's people. They're His flock. They're seen as one that is shepherded or tended to, cared for by the Lord, by God Himself. He is the shepherd of these people. The psalmist said in Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So God was the shepherd of the nation of Israel. He tended to them like a flock of sheep or goats. He cared for them. He watched over them. He took care of their every need. And Isaiah 40 and in verse 10, Isaiah said, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So God is the shepherd of the nation of Israel. God is the shepherd of His people. Cares and tends for His people like a shepherd cares, tends and feeds His sheep. The psalmist said in Psalm 77 in verse 20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So not only was God seen as the shepherd of His people, but God allowed man, civil and religious leaders, to also be referred to as shepherds of His people. So Moses and Aaron were seen as shepherds over the people of God. They led the people of God. They cared for the people of God. They provided for their needs. Of course, God did that through them. But nonetheless, civil and religious leaders were also referred to as shepherds. As a matter of fact, in Numbers 27 and verse 15 and following, when it came time for Moses to die, he even prayed to God that He would provide another shepherd to lead the nation. Numbers 27 and verse 15, Moses spoke to the Lord saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out, note the language of the shepherd here, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, as if He's leading them out of the fold and bringing them into the fold. That the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him. So Joshua became a shepherd of God's people after Moses' death. And then we read in Psalm 78 and in verse 70 and following that David was to be a shepherd of God's people. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds and from the ewes that had young. Ewes is a word for female sheep. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. To shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his heritage. Jacob, remember, his name was changed to Israel. So the people under consideration is the nation of Israel. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. But through the process of time, civil and religious leaders that God had given the right to shepherd his people became corrupt. They were more desirous of their own well-being than they were of the sheep's well-being. And so they scattered God's people as a flock of sheep without a shepherd. They allowed them to stray away. That's how they scattered them. They didn't keep them as a flock. They didn't care for them. They didn't tend for them. They didn't feed them with God's word. And so the civil and religious leaders through the process of time that were shepherds of God's people became to be what we might refer to as false shepherds. Jeremiah 23 and verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. So God's going to destroy these shepherds who have not paid careful attention to his people, cared for them and fed them and tended to their needs, but yet has scattered them and destroyed the nation. In Jeremiah 25 and in verse 34, he said, "Wail, shepherds, and cry. Roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel, and the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and a wailing of the leaders to the flock will be heard, for the Lord has plundered their pasture." It's simply a way of speaking about the destruction that would come upon this nation as they were be taken away into Babylonian captivity and all the civil and religious leaders destroyed who had scattered God's flock. But God promised that one day he would give his people shepherds. He would give his people shepherds who would lead his people in the right way in which they should go. Jeremiah 3 and in verse 14, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and will bring you to Zion." Why? Because they're away in captivity in Babylon. He's going to bring them back to Zion, back to the city of Jerusalem. "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, and will feed you with knowledge and understanding. I will give you shepherds." Had he not already given them shepherds? He had. This prophecy that Jeremiah speaks here perhaps has its primary fulfillment in bringing them back from Babylonian captivity and from Assyrian captivity, returning them back to the land which God had promised to give them and back to the city of Jerusalem. But it has its secondary fulfillment, no doubt, in God giving the early church shepherds to tend to his flock, elders to oversee, take care of, and feed the people of God. The term flock itself is used then not only to refer to the nation of Israel, as we see in the Old Testament scriptures, but to refer to the universal church we read about in the New Testament. In Luke 12 and verse 32, Jesus, even speaking to his disciples before the church came into existence, referred to his disciples as a little flock. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So the disciples who followed him would later, of course, become the first members of the Lord's church, those who first obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, perhaps on the day of Pentecost. They were already recognized as his little flock. Implied in that, "do not fear, little flock," is the fact that he is their shepherd. He is their shepherd. Jesus Christ is their shepherd. Ezekiel had promised that this was going to happen when the Messiah or the Christ came. Ezekiel 34 and in verse 23. "I will establish one shepherd over them," God said, "and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Now when Ezekiel makes this prophecy, David had been dead for many, many years. So what does it mean? He's going to feed them. That one shepherd is going to be David. The phrase simply means that The one who is going to feed them, the one who's going to be the one shepherd, would be a descendant of David. He would be the offspring of David, not David himself. David was not going to be raised from the dead and become the shepherd of the sheep. He was going to be a descendant of David, an offspring of David, in harmony with 2 Samuel in chapter 7. Just the promise that God made that of the fruit of David's body, he would raise up one to sit on his throne. So I will establish one shepherd over them. One shepherd over who? One shepherd over God's people. And he shall feed them, and that shepherd shall be a descendant of David. Shall be the Christ, shall be the Messiah. Just as Jesus had said in Luke 12 and verse 32, do not fear little flock. He refers to them as flock, making himself the shepherd. John 10 and in verse 11 he said, as John records, I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And what did he do? He gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. He is the good shepherd. That's what a shepherd would do. He would give up his own life that the flock might live. He would fight the bear and fight the lion. Keep them from carrying off the flock. He would give his life. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He is indeed the true shepherd, the good shepherd. A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. What did Ezekiel say? Or what did God say through Ezekiel? I will establish one shepherd over them. One shepherd. But Jesus says there's going to be one shepherd and one flock. But note also in verse 16 there, there's going to be other sheep who are not currently of that flock. No doubt having reference to the Gentiles that would be added later on. So there's one shepherd and one flock. In the Old Testament scriptures, God's people, the nation of Israel, was the flock of God. In the New Testament, the flock of God is the church. Jesus Christ is a shepherd. There is one shepherd and one flock. Ephesians 1 and verse 22. And he, that is God, put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So the church is the body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says there is but one body. That means there's but one church. Well, if the church and the flock are the same, how many flocks are there? There is one shepherd and one flock. So the church and the flock are the same. 1 Peter 5, and in verse 3, Jesus is the chief shepherd of that flock. He is the head of the church, and he is the chief shepherd of the church universal. He is like God, as the psalmist said, Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. When David recorded that psalm, he was speaking of God. God was the shepherd of the nation of Israel. He was a shepherd of his people. Come the New Testament, Christ is the shepherd. He is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the one shepherd, the chief shepherd, over the church, over the flock of God. Amen. The Hebrew writer refers to him as that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. The great shepherd of the sheep. No greater shepherd than the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 25, he's referred to as a shepherd and overseer of your souls. Think about that. Jesus Christ is a shepherd and overseer of your soul. You want one to tend and care for your spiritual well-being? There is no greater one than the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your life and your eternal life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What will he do for you? He'll do everything he can possible to bring about your salvation. How do I know he will? Because he died to do just that. There's an article on the front of the bulletin this morning. I hope you read it. What would you die for? Christ died for us. Just sheep. Would you die for a sheep? We wander and stray away like people without a leader. But our Lord Jesus Christ is a great shepherd of the sheep. He oversees, watches over, cares, guards our souls. What is the flock of God? The nation of Israel. The church universal. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one shepherd over that church, one shepherd over that flock. But the phrase, the flock of God, is also used in another sense. It's used in reference to the local church, the local congregation of God's people. That's the way it's used in our text, 1 Peter 5 and in verse 1 and following. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. So these to whom Peter is speaking are elders, presbyters. They have oversight of God's people in a local area. Where was that local area? Well, 1 Peter 1 and in verse 1. There were some in Galatia and some in Pontus and some in Cappadocia and some in Asia and some in Bithynia. The indication is that there were congregations scattered all over the Roman Empire. And there were shepherds overseeing those congregations. And that's whom Peter is speaking to on this occasion. Same thing is true in Acts 20 and verse 28 when Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The flock, there's not the church universal. The elders in the church in Ephesus aren't overseeing the church universal. They're overseeing the flock that is among them. That is, of which they are members. That's the way the word flock is used in the Scripture. And Peter told the elders that they were to be examples to the flock. Be examples, be a pattern. Be someone that those whom you have oversight of can imitate and follow. I want you to think about that. Compare the elders, the shepherds, the overseers who have oversight of our souls and our spiritual well-being. Compare them to the shepherds in the Old Testament who scattered the flock, did not tend to the flock, did not care for the flock, did not feed the flock. They fed themselves. God destroyed them. Those who desire to be shepherds of a local congregation today have a tremendous responsibility, amen, obligation placed upon them. They have souls of men in their care. And indeed, just as God in days of old held them to those responsibilities, He will hold shepherds, overseers, elders, presbyters, to those obligations and responsibilities today. There are to be men of example, men whom we can imitate and men whom we can follow. That means their life must be a life lived that we would want to emulate and follow. But He also said that they serve as overseers. An overseer, someone who looks over, someone who takes care, someone who supervises. The word itself in the Greek means to give attention to look after, to look upon, to observe, to examine the state of affairs, to supervise. That's what shepherds do. They supervise a flock. They oversee a flock. You know, when a literal shepherd looks out over his flock, he can see whether one is sick physically. Hopefully a shepherd could look out over a flock in the spiritual sense and see if a member of the flock in the spiritual sense is sick spiritually. Sometimes the literal shepherd looks out over his little literal flock and sees a sheep that seems to be healthy, but he takes a really close examination and sees that sheep is not healthy at all. That he sees a disease coming on. Sin, it's taking and having an influence in their life. Think about it. Think about what the literal shepherd would do. Watches out and cares for the physical well-being of the sheep. The spiritual shepherd looks out and takes care of the spiritual well-being of the sheep. Keeps them from being carried off by savage wolves, by false teachers. Protects them and cares for their soul. He supervises them. But note, he said, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. That is, of which you are a member of. There are many churches today who have shepherds, elders, presbyters, who think that they have the right to shepherd or oversee a congregation located somewhere else. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Elders in a church somewhere else have no authority to oversee the work of this congregation, have no authority to oversee and take care of the souls of this congregation. Their responsibility is to take care of the souls under their oversight. We need to understand that. There's a lot of churches, a lot of elders today need to understand that. I've worshiped with congregations in times past who, when I first moved to Germany, when I was in the military, worshiped with a congregation. Elders in Lubbock, Texas had the oversight of that congregation. Matter of fact, we couldn't even do anything to the building itself without getting their permission. They violated the scripture. We should have had our own elders with the oversight of the people who was among them. So I didn't worship with them long when I learned that they were worshiping contrary to the teaching of the scriptures. 1 Peter 1 and in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The implied is that there were congregations of God's people that needed to be shepherded all over the Roman Empire. So we need to, as shepherds, shepherd the flock of God which is among us. Christ, of course, is over the elders. The elders don't make up the rules. The elders don't decide for themselves what kind of food the flock gets. You know, earthly elders today sometimes decide that the flock needs ice cream and hamburgers. But real, true elders understand that they need spiritual food, not hamburgers and ice cream. 1 Peter 5, and in verse 1, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder. Peter himself was a fellow elder. That tells you something. He is writing to elders, 1 Peter 5, and in verse 1 and following, but he is a fellow elder. Remember, they're to shepherd the church which is among them, the flock among them. Well, Peter's a fellow elder. Where's he at when he's writing this? Well, he's not in Asia. He's not in Cappadocia. He's not in Bithynia. 1 Peter 5 and in verse 13 says he's in Babylon. He's in an ancient city of Babylon. So he's an elder. He's a shepherd. He's a presbyter in the church that is meeting in the ancient city of Babylon at that time. And as the Apostle Peter and a fellow elder, he writes to the elders in churches throughout Asia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, and Pontus, and so forth. 1 Peter 5, and in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God. Yes, the elders are to shepherd the flock which is among them, but Jesus Christ is also their shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. The implication in that is, the shepherds over a local flock of God's people do not make the rules and regulations. The chief shepherd does. He has oversight of them. And so the elders, the shepherds, and the local flock have to go to him for instruction and command. John 10 and verse 3, Jesus said, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. Elders are sheep too. They're part of a local congregation. So they have to hear the voice of the chief shepherd, just like all sheep hear. But what do we do if we're under the oversight of elders? We need to hear what those elders have to say. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey those who rule over you, Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Evidently, those who are in leadership positions, those who are in positions of authority, such as elders, are under consideration this, because they watch out for one's soul. And we should obey them. We should be submissive to them. Because they also have one they must be submissive to and obey. The chief shepherd. They obey the chief shepherd. We obey the chief shepherd. But we also obey the elders who are over us. These shepherds of the local flock know the voice of the chief shepherd. And they obey the voice of the chief shepherd. John 10 and in verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So as we follow our local leaders, the shepherds, the elders, the presbyters, they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We all follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd. Do you want to be a sheep? Do you want to be in the flock of God? That's the way the Scripture refers to us as sheep. In the flock of God if you're a Christian. But you're not in the flock of God if you've never confessed your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If you never repented of your sins and submitted to water baptism to have your sins washed away, you're not a part of the flock of God. That means you're not a part of the people of God. Become a part of the flock of God this morning. Have someone care and tend to your soul's salvation. You'll find no greater one to do it than the Lord Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd. Submit to the will of God this morning in baptism. Become a Christian this day. If you're one who has done that in times past, but you've gone astray like a sheep without a shepherd, return to the overseer of your soul, Peter says. Repent of that sin. Come back to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.